Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 78, September 25th, 2024.
Yes.
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 Did you see he got nominated for an Emmy?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't
understand.
I like The Bear, but it's not a comedy. It's not a comedy.
No.
There's some comedy elements to it, but as a whole, it's more of a drama than a comedy.
Correct. Yeah,
so,
he would have won.
It's kind of...
He would have won if not for The Bear, claiming to be a comedy.
I mean, I like it. It's just it's not a comedy.
It's a drama, if you ask me.
No, it's a great show. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's a drama.
I'm late to the game on that. I just finished season one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Let me tell you why. Because I worked in the restaurant industry while I was in high school and for a little bit after high school. And I went to culinary college. I didn't go to the Culinary Institute of America because it was very hard to get into there. I did not get accepted. But I got accepted second best, which is Johnson & Wales University. And a PTSD, bro.
Yeah.
I was afraid of PTSD. Like, everyone kept saying, you got to watch the show. I'm like... Dude, I worked in a kitchen and
imagine,
it's a
man.
Fucking nightmare. And I still have like nightmares about it. And I'm afraid that it'll reactivate the trauma. But so far, season one didn't do that to me. But everyone keeps going, it gets different in season two. And I'm like, well.
Well, yeah, because they go from being the sandwich place to like a, you know, they decide to make themselves a high end place, which.
Yep. And high end places are the fucking worst,
dude. It looks so
the
stressful.
Fucking
like
worst.
I worked in a dive, like a shitty like college restaurant that, you know.
Yeah.
It was good for a shitty college town, but it wasn't anything like that. Like there was no like timer. Like you got to get this shit out, and you know it was.
That's a big restaurant. Yeah, because
holy shit, dude, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Right, because I started out, you know, in ninth grade as, you know, washing dishes, and then I moved up to short order chef, and then I worked as the assistant chef. Chef in my senior year of high school, and that was like a tiny little fucking restaurant bar. And then when I moved on to like an actual restaurant, and it was like a big upscale restaurant that had hundreds of people in and out every night, it was a fucking nightmare, bro.
Hey,
nightmare. All right, let's get on to news. First of all, I want to say this week tonight actually kicks off Beyond Fest here in Southern California in Los Angeles. The opening film is Salem's Lot, the new remake,
and that's all in the same theater, Sal, that, or are they
no it's in three different theaters. You have the Aero Theater, which is up in Santa Monica on Montana Boulevard, Montana Avenue. You have the Egyptian Theater, which just opened this year. After being closed since 1992, American Cinematheque restored it. It's fucking gorgeous, gorgeous theater. That's in Hollywood. And then you have the Los Feliz Theater, which is up in like the North Hollywood area or somewhere in the valley. I can't remember where it actually is. I don't go up there because I don't like driving all the way up into the valley.
Yep.
So I'm not going to go into any shows. I'm not going to any screenings that are at Los Feliz. I'll be at the Aero, which is my favorite theater, or I'll be at the Egyptian, which you got to pay so much for parking there. I fucking hate it, but it is what it is. Yeah, so kickoff of Beyond Fest.
Yes!
All right, let's talk some news. The Substance. I got to see a screening of this as part of Beyond Fest before Beyond Fest opened. I love this film. I got my son to watch it. He loves it. Opening weekend, not fucking good.
Wow.
17 is, huh?
It's getting a ton of hype.
It is, but $17 million budget, it only made $3 million in opening weekend.
Yeesh.
I think part of the reason is it's only opening in 1,500 theaters.
Well, that'll do it.
Rather small opening. Yeah. In fact, I was like, I think I want to go see it in the theaters, and I was hoping to be able to walk to it down at the cinema down the street here in Long Beach. It's not even playing here.
Wow.
So I'm like, oh, shit, that sucks.
I don't know. You say a lot of hype, but I don't think other than the advertisement, I think I've seen like one advertisement for it. Like, I don't, you know, there's not a big ad campaign that I know of, and you talking about it. You know, I got a thing from Fangoria because I'm a subscribe to Fangoria, but if it wasn't for that and one online commercial I think I saw somehow, like, I don't know, like, maybe people don't know about it.
You know, the fucked up thing about the whole situation is that, you know, I went to the screening and there was a Q&A session with the director afterwards, and she said, you know, when she showed this film to the people, I believe it was who paid for this? It might have been, was it Paramount? I forget what movie company and, you know, finances for her, but they were like upset. They were like, who are we going to show this to? Who are we going to sell this to? And like, horror fans, this is body horror. This film was fucking spectacular. Like, I'm telling you, this film is going to get an Oscar nomination for Demi Moore.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Okay. She was perfection in this film. And they don't advertise it. They don't fucking put it in theaters. Like, how do you want to get your money back? You don't want to get your money back? I don't understand. It's like, how do we sell this? By the way, we're not going to sell it. Huh?
Yeah. That's the worst when they do that with movies.
No, it's fucking terrible. And I feel horrible for her because, dude, we gave her a standing ovation. Like, if you go to the American Cinematheque Instagram page, you'll see we gave her a 2-minute standing ovation when she came out on stage because the film was fucking phenomenal. It blew my – listen, it melted my brain. Wow. The end of that film melted my brain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even my son, he called me leaving the theater. He was so excited. He's like, that movie – unbelievable. I don't think I've ever seen a movie that good, he said.
Wow. Nice. Can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, definitely. Mike Flanagan had an interview with The Hollywood Reporter about the life of Chuck and notes that the life of Chuck, although it's done, it's in the can, it plays during Beyond Fest. It played last week during Fantastic Fest. People loved it. No distribution yet. No distribution deal. That means, are we going to see it in general theaters? Perhaps not. Perhaps not.
Maybe Shudder or Screambox. Or...
If they pay for it, someone's got to pick up the distribution, and that's the bottom line here. So right now it's making the rounds in all the film festivals is probably the way it's going to go in hopes that somebody will pick it up for distribution.
It'll end up like the Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, which is another one that I just watched an interview with what's his face?
Peter Dinklage,
and he's like, write to your congressman. Like, I don't know how to get this released. Like, it's a great film. I don't understand why no one will pick it up for distribution.
How are you going to get people to watch this?
Yeah. And Mike Flanagan also mentioned in that interview that, you know, we talked about this before, that the new Exorcist films that came out did not do well. The first one, trash. They just canceled all the rest. And decided that Mike Flanagan would like to pick it up, and he's picking it up, started writing the new script. And in this interview, he says he wants to honor everything that came before it, but he wants it to make it scarier. He wants to make this the scariest movie he has ever made.
Oh, wow.
That's ambitious.
Yeah.
And let's hope he pulls it off, because I'm down for it. Bring it on.
Yeah.
He knows how to scare people.
Oh, yes, he does. Mike Flanagan, again, hit or miss sometimes.
Yeah,
right?
But
for the most part,
he's got a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, he's not batting 1,000, but he's batting 800. You know what I'm saying?
But he's no M. Night Shyamalan.
Exactly. Dexter Original Sin has its first trailer and says that it's going to premiere December 13th. I'm kind of excited for it. You know, Dexter was a great show.
Is it going back to Showtime or no?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, it'll be on Showtime. And I always wondered, like, how they're going to pull off this, like, origin story thing. And so far, that trailer looked pretty decent. I'm kind of on board for it.
Yeah, I haven't started watching it. I haven't seen any of it.
Same here. I know you've been hyping it up.
You guys have
now.
Never seen Dexter?
No, neither of you have seen. They just dropped it on Netflix.
But wait, neither of you have seen any Dexter at all?
Nope. No, you've been hyping it up probably the 7 years that we've been doing this podcast, and... there's so much other shit, you know, like, and it's not that I don't want to watch it. It's like it's on the queue and then stuff just keeps coming out and it just stays in its spot in the queue.
I feel it. I feel your pain.
And there's 8 seasons, so it's going to be a big.
It's a long one. Yeah, it's a long one. I was part of the people that were watching it when it was live, when it was happening. And I'll always forget the scene where, well, you'll see it, but the phrase "surprise, motherfucker," and then someone did all the memes that are "some fries, motherfucker." Mm. Everyone dies, motherfucker. You know, they're doing all those things. It's just fucking funny. I love it. Wow. Damn you guys. Salem's Lot trailer, second trailer, has been released.
Looks way better than the first one, too.
Yes, it does. It does look better. Just want to remind everyone, this is coming to Max on October 3rd. I'm very excited for kick off the spooky season with some Salem's Lot.
Yeah,
I'm going to go see it. Yeah, I'm going to see it tonight, so I'm sure it'll be awesome. But I will watch it again on October 3rd, I'm sure. Constantine's script is done, according to comicbooks.com. Constantine 2 is ready to go. According to the producer, Lorenzo Di Bonaventura. I don't know how to say his name.
You're Italian, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, but I'm a poor Italian. I don't speak it. He says, when they asked him about the Constantine's 2 script, he says this, you know, it's in my inbox right now, but funny enough, I'm too scared to read it, though. He says, I want it to be good so bad that if I read it in the next few days, when I get on an airplane, I'm hoping it's good.
It's like Schrodinger's script.
Yeah. It's a fantastic script as long as you don't look at it. but we'll see. I'm hoping, man. It's been a long time. And, you know, I recently saw an interview with Keanu Reeves. I'm thinking, starting to get a little old. I don't know how well he's going to play this role. Although, you know, they vary.
John Wick pretty good, apparently.
Yeah, well, the problem is that even Constantine is the original script. They varied so drastically from the character in the comic books that, forgive me for my age, forgetting the name of the guy who wrote Alan Moore, who wrote the original Hellblazer comics and created the character of John Constantine. Basically, when Warner Brothers made the film, he said, I don't give a shit. I don't want to see it. Take my fucking name off the credits.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Hmm. But we'll see what happens here. All right. Teaser for Alien Earth has showed up on YouTube. According to Deadline, Alien Earth creator Noah Hawley teases it's a chilling xenomorph in an FX series. You're going to lock your front door at night after watching it.
Hmm. It's on FX, huh?
Yep, it's going to be on FX. Wow. Also streaming on Hulu. So if you got Hulu, you're going to be able to see it.
Don't.
I do have Hulu, yes.
I do have Hulu. I've had the Disney Plus Hulu package. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I just switched to I had Hulu. That was the account I had first. And I added Disney Plus for $2.99 with commercials. Hulu with commercials, Disney Plus with commercials. And the amount of commercials that they had during that first episode of Agatha All Along was fucking egregious. I was so angry that I signed up for the commercial free version. Yeah, but let me tell you, what I wanted is I wanted Disney Plus and Hulu commercial free, but I didn't want to pay a shit ton of money for it. Mm-hmm. And I read on the Disney Plus website that if you have Disney Plus, you can get them for a special price. It's the Disney Plus special package. I'm like, I want that, but there was nowhere for me to select it. So I called their support. And they walked me through selecting it, and they basically hid it. They don't want people getting this cheaper package.
Those fuckers.
So they hid it. Fuck so when Mickey. When you select on the screen, there's like a big image. Get Disney and Hulu and ESPN, or get Disney Hulu Max. But in the small text at the bottom, it says to get the Disney Duo Plus package. Really small text. Mm. That's the cheap one that gives you those two without commercials. Yeah, well. According to Variety, Charlie Hunnam will star as Ed Gein in Monster Season 3.
Oh, sweet.
I'm excited for that. Ed Gein is one of those legendary serial killers who started the whole genre of the slasher films. That if it wasn't for the appearance of Ed Gein and what he did, what was more or less converted into the fuck's that Alfred Hitchcock film?
Psycho.
Psycho. Written into the book of Psycho, we may have never had slasher films for many years to come. I'm sure someone would have thought of it eventually, but Psycho was the first book written that really covered that murder, and then was turned into the film Psycho by Alfred Hitchcock, who brought slasher genre to life with his film. Excited for that. A couple months ago, we talked about the movie Cuckoo. Was it a month or two? Well, yep. Cuckoo is now on digital. Boy, that was quick.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder if it was a shitty film. It's a comedy, horror comedy.
I thought it looked pretty good.
The trailers looked great, but it's suddenly on digital, so we'll see what is happening. You can rent it on Amazon and other streaming services now. I'm not sure when it will become part of a streaming package or what channel it will be streaming on, but for now, you can rent it pretty much anywhere. Blumhouse and AMC Theaters are launching Blumfest, according to Deadline. AMC Theaters, some limited locations on limited dates, will be re-releasing some Blumhouse horror classics. Starting with Wednesday, September 25th, that's tonight, Paranormal Activity will be in theaters.
Sweet.
Wednesday, October 2nd, Lights Out. Wednesday, October 9th, Insidious Chapter 2. Wednesday, October 16th, Happy Death Day. Good film.
Like that film.
Wednesday, October 23rd, The Black Phone. Another great film.
Yes.
Wednesday, October 30th, Five Nights at Freddy's. It's a pretty good film. That seems every Wednesday starting tonight.
That's pretty cool.
So, limited theaters. Go to the Blumhouse AMC Blumfest website and look for a theater near you.
Speaking of Blumhouse, they have their first video game dropping, too.
Shit, what video game is that?
It's coming on PlayStation, I think, and PC. Look for the Searchlight, I think it's called. Let me double check here. Don't know when it's called Fear the Spotlight.
Fear the Spotlight, yeah, okay.
It's supposed to be out before the end of the year.
Interesting.
And I think PlayStation just announced, it's not out yet, but they announced that it will be out.
So PlayStation and PC, no Xbox license?
I don't know.
God damn you, Sony.
Well, I'm starting not to like them myself, but
I still like the PlayStation as a better gaming system.
Their games come out with all these pixelated games, and it's like nothing really.
A lot of cheap shit lately, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So there is Xbox One, Xbox Series X.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, you're good.
What is it, like a first person or third
don't
person?
Don't know.
Or, no, it doesn't.
Don't. Okay. Yeah, right. So they just announced it, sort of, kind of.
Hmm. Okay.
I want to say maybe third person, from what I saw.
That'd be all right.
Bit of it.
All right. Spin the Bottle, new horror film trailer. That's coming out from Paramount Movies. Spin the Bottle official trailer. I'll post a link on our Facebook group. I think I did already.
Yeah, I think you did. I watched it. It was good. It looks really
looks
pretty creepy.
Yeah.
It's got Justin Long in it, too, which is, you know.
Justin Long appears to be in every horror movie nowadays.
Is that a Australian? I think that's the one maybe they said reminded them of Talk to Me. I could be wrong.
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah, it's possible.
It
now
looks
that you
like
say
it
that.
Possibly could be, yeah.
Because it looks like there's some supernatural stuff going on there. Like it's like a slasher, but possibly supernatural slasher.
I think it's a little bit supernatural slasher, kind of looked like, yeah.
Looks like there's a lot of teens making out, too.
Okay.
Isn't that always a horror film? And it must be a slasher. If there's teens making out, it's a slasher.
Yeah.
You got to be careful comparing it to Talk to Me, too. You know what I mean? That was such a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah. A new trailer for The Platform 2. Looking good.
I loved the first one. They didn't give you a whole lot in this trailer. I'm going to watch it, obviously, because I love the first one so much. So yeah, I'd be interested to see what they do, you know, to further the
The Platform 2 hits Netflix on October 4th.
Oh,
be
so
sure
soon.
To check it out.
Well, that's on next weekend. Yeah,
that's also going to be at Beyond Fest this week.
Oh, nice.
The second trailer for Heretic is out. We talked about, or we posted this on Facebook a couple weeks ago and had a little chat about it.
A little bit more
of him, what he's doing in the house there before the girls arrive. A24, man, they're just cranking out those films.
Yep,
I'm looking forward to that one. It looks good.
Recent story on Wired.com shows that 28 years later was shot entirely on an iPhone 15.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. I like that idea because, you know, back in the day, they shot those on like VHS and handhelds to make it look like a found footage type movies. I think shooting it on an iPhone is the next, the next leap, right? Because everyone's got an iPhone in their pocket.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. According to Polygon.com, Damian Leone confirms that Art the Clown will return.
Oh, nice.
He also says, listen, if you're coming to see Terrifier 3 in theaters, bring a barf bag.
Yeah, cool. Some of the early reviews are you know, it's a disgusting movie, which is nice. Hey, Sacrilegious, I think, was one of that I saw.
Sacrilegious. Listen. At least he's not selling out, right?
That's right.
He's keeping the theme. You know, the more money typically they sell out and cater to all the censors, he's saying, fuck it.
We're bring a barf bag, bitches. The opposite. Yeah.
I got more money. I make it more gory.
Afford more blood.
Terrifier 3 once again pits the previous survivor, Sienna Shaw, played by Laura Lavera. Against Art, David Howard Thornton, and his grievously mutilated former victim, Vicky, who become kind of a hyperverbal harlequin to Art's silent mime-inspired Joker. The movie implies that while Sienna spent 5 years in and out of psychiatric hospitals trying to process her trauma from the events of Terrifier 2, Art has been quiescent, possibly just waiting for her to reemerge. And when she does, move in with her aunt's family, Art goes on a new rampage. This time, it's around the Christmas season.
Well, yeah, because I think that girl killed somebody at the end of the first one, didn't she?
Yes.
Like, I remember her like freaking out and like.
Well, remember in the insane asylum. She gave birth to Art's head.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's going to be good. Art. I'm sure of it. Ben Hardy and Mia Tomlinson have been added to The Conjuring Last Rites. According to Deadline, The Conjuring Last Rites is finishing up its casting and has added Ben Hardy and Mia Tomlinson. Don't really know their characters that they're playing, but we know Mia Tomlinson because she was in the 11th Doctor Who Chronicles. I don't know if you guys watch Doctor Who. I'm a nerd. I watch that garbage.
No.
I watched the original. Well, not the originals, but yeah, the ones that were on.
I've seen none of it.
PBS. I used to like it.
Yeah, I've been watching it every year. There's always some great stuff going on there. Ben Hardy, he played Angel in the X-Men Apocalypse movie. I don't know if you remember that abomination. But he played he played the version of Angel in that one. According to Empire Online, there is a new issue of Empire Online which has 40 years of Terminator. In there is a nice interview with the director of the up-and-coming Wolfman film, Lee Whannell. I don't know. He has a propensity for producing palpitation-inducing terror. He co-created Saw, Insidious, alongside James Wan. He stepped up as director for Insidious Chapter 3. He recently has conjured gag-worthy gore and breathless tension in the likes of the film Upgrade, which was more of a sci-fi. Upgrade was more of a sci-fi film, but have you guys seen Upgrade? That was a good film.
Very good movie.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
And he also helped produce The Invisible Man. But Whelan sees his previous two critically lauded features have been horror-adjacent genre hybrids, but The Wolfman is going to be a straight-up universal classic monster horror film that is really going to scare you, according to him. He says, quote, I think it's a companion piece to The Invisible Man, which we expected, right? The Universal Monsters finally doing something right. Invisible Man, again, I got that on 4K recently. Just love that film. A fantastic take on that character.
It sure was.
He says, I really don't want the new Wolfman to become a nostalgic or a retro Wolfman film in any way. I want to reinvent and recreate the character. He's coming up with new ideas to bring the werewolf and mythology to the big screen. He says, I was writing down on my notepad everything that's been done previously and saying, okay, these are the things we do not want to do.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like the Invisible Man, right?
I'm really hoping that people will come into the theater and say, oh, wow, I have never seen that type of werewolf movie before. And when the lights come on, people go, wow, I cannot wait to see it again.
I've seen Invisible Man probably four or five times since it first came out.
Like I said, just a fucking great film. And I, since I got it on 4K, I watched the director's commentary. Fantastic. He goes behind the scenes of some of that stuff. Like, unbelievable. Unbelievable to make in that film. Like, some of that stuff, some of the best scenes in that film, you'll be surprised to know that improvised on the scene.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. Fucking great stuff. New trailer for Sinners. Ryan Coogler directed Black Panther and Creed star Michael B. Jordan comes a new vision of fear. This is a vampire film that looks pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah, I watched the trailer that you posted, and I wasn't sure. Is it vampires? I thought it might have been zombies there for a bit.
Nope, straight up vampires. Two twin brothers return to their hometown again, only discover that an even greater evil awaits them to welcome them back.
Yeah, it looks like it takes place in like the 40s or something like that. Like it's definitely like a, you know, a period piece.
Definitely, yeah. It's written and directed by Ryan Coogler. Sinner stars Jordan in a dual role, joined by Oscar nominee Haley Steinfeld, you know, from Bumblebee and what was the new Hawkeye series on Disney Plus. The film is produced by Coogler and frequent collaborator Sev Ohana and Zinni Coogler. Coogler's behind the camera for this film that he wrote and produced and directed. Freaking awesome. It's going to be distributed by Warner Brother Pictures. It will be distributed worldwide and in theaters March 7th, 2025.
She's also dating Josh Allen. Just a side note.
There you go.
Haley Steinfeld.
Wow.
Last year, I can't believe it was a year ago, but last year, we talked about Hayride to Hell, which was a film starring what's the guy's fucking name that was in Rob Zombie films, tons of Rob Zombie films. The guy that plays Chop Top in the.
Bill Moseley.
Yeah, Bill Moseley. Damn, I hate getting old. So Bill Moseley stars in Hey Ride to Hell. We talked about it because the trailer came out a fucking year ago, and I've never seen it. It said it was going to be in theaters back in October 20th of 2023. Well, guess what? It's finally coming to digital. My God.
Jeez.
Freaking year. I don't have any dates, but I just saw the announcement for it, and I put the trailer up from back in 2023 up on Facebook again because I'm like, I'm sure people forgot about this. But basically, it's like a farmer who's getting forced out of his land, so he starts a hayride, and on the hayride, he kills all the fuckers that have been trying to kick him off his land.
Nice.
So it looks really good. It's a gory slasher film. Bill Moseley, come on, man.
Yeah,
that guy's a great actor.
Be good, like Halloween. Hopefully, they'll drop it like next month, like you know, sometime.
I hope so.
Kane Hodder was in that too, right?
Yeah. And another trailer that, dude, trailers are dropping left and right over this past month because getting ready for that spooky season. Got to start advertising these horror films. A new film called Rumors, which is a zombie horror comedy based on the G7 meetings over in Switzerland, which I think that's fucking funny as hell.
Yeah, I think Ari Aster's name's attached to it, right?
Yes, that's correct. Ari Aster put this together.
It looks funny as shit.
It says, ricochets between a comedy and apocalyptic horror, the swooning soap opera, Rumors follows seven leaders of the world's wealthiest democracies amongst the annual G7 summit, where they attempt to draft provisional statement regarding global crisis. The unexpected, uproarious performances and brilliant ensemble cast includes Kate Blanchett, Alicia Alicia Vinicter, Charles Dance, and his so-called leaders become spectacles of incompetence, contending with increasingly surreal obstacles in the misty woods at night. The genre-hopping satire political ineptitude, and the latest film is comparable directors of Guy Mandin, Evan Johnson and Gail Johnson, Journey into the Absurd, Heart of Power, Institutional Failure, and a Slowly Burning World. That looks pretty funny, actually, the scenes that they showed in the
trailer. Yeah, I thought it looked really good. Light. Actually, the pacing and the blend of comedy and horror kind of gave me like Clue vibes, or like, I don't know if you guys remember Murder by Death.
Murder by Death.
It kind of gave me that kind of vibe, you know, like funny, but like quirky and like, you know, death. And like, it looks like it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah. It looks like it's the right mix of horror and comedy there. Yeah. So, and the cast, holy crap, man. Yeah. I'm really stoked for that one.
Yeah. Looks good.
All right, that's all I got for news. Anything else from you guys?
I don't think I have anything.
Excellent. Let's go with, we got five flicks to watch this month. It was Chris, right?
Oh, was it? I thought it was you. Is it me? Because I didn't pick anything.
Was it me?
I thought I looked at the list and it wasn't me.
You know what? You know what? It might have been me and I fucking fucked it up. Let me check your head. Let me see. Dude, if it was me, I fucked up.
Well, if it was me, I fucked up too, because I thought it was you.
I did it last, but yeah.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Stop motion. Yeah, it was fucking me. All right, fine. You know what? I'm going to do it on the fly. Let's do it live.
We'll do it live.
Yeah, we'll do it live. All right. I'm going to pick Shudder. All right, there we go. It's going to be Shudder. And let's look at what is on Shudder this month. All right, let's see. Newly added. Let's go that way. In a Violent Nature.
Oh, yeah.
Good movie. Fucking great film. Good movie. Shocker. Another classic.
Yeah.
I know. They just added all these bombs.
The Wes Craven classic, The People Under the Fucking Stairs. Oh. Yes. Come on, man. That's three. That's three for five. And the original Salem's Lot. That's number four.
Yep. Mm.
And let's see. Hellhole, number five. Dude, Hellhole was a good film.
Yeah, it was good. It's different.
There you go. There's my five picks. See how easy that was?
You like Hellhole better than Funhouse? They just dropped Funhouse on there, too.
You know, they also dropped Faces of Death, man. Yeah. Faces of Death is up there now, too.
It's on my...
They're getting their lineup set for Halloween.
Dude, you know what else just showed up there? Dude, I should have looked further ahead. Fucking Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, nice.
That's up there, too, now.
Oh, sweet.
Wow. That's one that you never see on streaming services.
Good no shit. Way. I'll have to watch that.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know how long this shit's going to be up there, but if you're listening to this, Romeo and Juliet is a must-see.
Yeah.
Wow. Fantastic. All right. See that? Flying Body City. Do it live. Fuck it. But do it live.
Yes.
Yes. Is this for real?
Yes, it is, sir. Yes, it is.
Who the fuck are you?
Exactly. Who the fuck am I? What is happening here?
Who the fuck are you?
You are a fucking star.
That's right. I'm a star. Look at me. I did it live. All right. All right. Let's move on. Next is our top five list. The top five for this month is top five psychological horror films. Let's see. The order this month is left nut, right nut, shaft. There we go. All right. It is Chris, Craig, Sal.
This was tough because, like, there's a whole lot of stuff I think qualifies as psychological horror, you know? And, like, and I was like, well, it's psychological horror, but it's also, like, a slasher, or it's psychological horror, but it's also
That's kind of where I was on there, too. What is, you know, some of these are on my list are like, yeah, that could be a slasher.
Anything that affects the brain, though, right? It's like...
Yeah, well, anything that causes that sense of psychological dread.
Yeah. Okay. So I have my five, and then I have a couple of honorable mentions because there was a lot of movies that came to mind.
Yeah.
So number five, I have Unsane. I think we reviewed that a couple of years ago.
That's Dude, funny. We did. Yep. We did. And I remember at the time I was going to a therapist, and the therapist that I talked to, he loved horror movies too. Uh-huh. And I said, yeah, you got to check this one out, Unsane. And then the next session that I had with him, he watched it, he goes, I couldn't finish it. He goes, it made me just too anxious.
It does make you, the entire movie makes it you does. Anxious. Because you're not sure if she really is crazy or if like that dude really is like stalking yes. her.
Yeah.
All right. Number four is Hereditary. It was such a like great movie. And it was one of those ones, like when we first watched it, it took me a while to digest it, you know, and then like the more you thought about it, like it just stuck with you. And then great movie. Number three, Silence of the Lambs. I felt a lot of dread during that movie. So I guess it's psychological. Number two is Psycho. It's Psycho is the name of the movie. And, you know, it's about a dude who's fucking nuts.
Yeah. Could be a slasher. Could be a psychological thriller. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
And my number one is Seven, which also like filled me with tons of dread. Definitely. Tons of dread. Definitely. Yep. And that guy was, I mean, he was a genius, I think, but also fucking nuts. So
definitely.
That's my top five. And then I'm just going to knock out some honorable mentions real quick. Invisible Man, which we just talked about, the newer one, not the original.
Hey, don't go overboard with the fucking honorable mentions.
All right. The Shining, which, you know, Jack Nicholson lost his shit in that one.
Sure.
And another one, Pearl. Because she was fucking
fantastic
nuts.
Choice.
She was fucking nuts in that end scene where they just focus on her face and she's like, "Yeah." So that's mine.
Fantastic. Good list. Good list.
Thank you.
Yep.
Craig.
Okay. Number five. I went with Unsane.
Ah, it's both are number fives. Look at that.
Yep.
Sweet.
Number four, I had Misery.
Yeah, that's a good one. Actually, it was one I thought of, but I, you know.
Just how she was torturing that dude.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean,
sure.
that's a perfect example of a
poor bastard.
Psychological.
It's even more of a psychological thriller when you're reading it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a good film. Good film.
I just thought of another one.
Number three, I had Pearl.
Yep.
Again, just a. She a journey nuts. Into somebody losing their shit.
Yep. Yeah.
Number two, Long Legs.
Yeah, that's a good
very
one.
Similar to Silence of the Lambs.
For sure, yep. For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, and that whole time you're like, I just, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, just
yep. Definitely did a feeling of dread throughout that film.
And they left a lot to your imagination, right? They didn't reveal a whole bunch, so your mind's sort of.
4K version of that comes in the mail tomorrow.
Sweet.
Yep. Number one, I went with Invisible Man.
Woo! Nice. Yeah, that was a mind fuck, that movie.
Yep. All right.
Honorables, I had Sixth Sense. And,
yep, definitely.
And Hereditary.
Ah.
Yeah.
Good list.
I fucked up this assignment because I... had a ginormous list with a lot of the things on that you guys had, but I narrowed it down by going, well, this is more of a slasher than, and I crossed that one out.
Oh, okay.
This, like I had Pearl on my list, but I'm like, it's more of a slasher film. So I crossed that out and I crossed this out and I crossed that out. And then I come up with a list that's much, much smaller. If I try to say, let's not say it's the two. So here's my list.
Okay.
Number five, Hereditary. Clearly, that is a psychological thriller horror film, right? It's not. This isn't a slasher.
It could be demon possession too, though.
Could be, but not until the end. They really don't give it all away.
It's not really
away,
part
right?
of the movie. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. True.
My number four, The Lighthouse.
Mm.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, that is a descent into madness. It's,
yep.
You know,
yeah. Yep.
My number three, and this one neither of you guys came up with, but I still regard it as one of my favorite psychological horror films, and I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That was good. It was.
That's
it was,
a Charlie Kaufman film, and that one still haunts me to this day.
Yeah, that's
mostly
true.
Because it came out during COVID in 2020, and which was depressing as it was, and then this fucking terrifyingly depressing psychological horror film.
Maybe that's
and the guy kills himself at the end.
Maybe I blocked it out. Maybe I blocked it out because it was so depressing.
It's very possible. It's very possible. Very possible. My number two, Get Out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for sure.
Because really, that one definitely wasn't a slasher. It definitely one was in the other. And that one fucking terrified me. That was just fucking... That was a mind fuck.
It was fresh when it came out, too. That was like horror on a different level. Like you're like, oh, shit, it's horror for sure.
Oh, yeah. And my number one, which you, Craig, you had on your list, The Shining.
Yep.
Because The Shining really is a classic when it comes to all these, this genre. And
yeah, I had it on my honorable mention, too.
Yeah. So, and I got two honorable mentions. One of them, which I don't remember if either of you guys saw it. For some reason, I believe Chris didn't. Maybe Craig didn't either. Under the Skin.
I saw.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah,
I think I may be talking about it, but I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, that was good.
And my second honorable mention, of course, is Misery. Good film, but there were just so many films to choose from. It's hard to really.
No, yeah. It's a good list for your. Yeah. You know, your.
Yeah, it was. Sort of, I mean, like, you know, around. Like you said, you tried to whittle yours out, so they didn't. It didn't fall under two categories. Where I.
Well,
like, you
know, and the thing is, I was really thinking, like, what films affected me emotionally. Yeah. Like, you know, to really get at me. And I almost made, I'm thinking of Ending Things as my number one, but I was thinking, you know, The Shining definitely beat that.
Mandy kind of did that for me too.
Yeah. And another one that popped into my head when we were sitting here was that incident in a Ghostland.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Those girls were like, all that shit was, you know, like she was trying to pretend like she wasn't in the situation she was in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just thought of that as we were sitting here. I'm like, oh, I forgot about that one. Yeah. Anyway, great list, guys.
Yeah, actually very good. And picking that list, Chris, great job. I still wonder, how do we come up with these lists after all this time and no input from anyone else?
No, I picked that one, so.
Oh, you picked that one, Craig. Good job. Wait, did I? I hope I put that right in the thing.
Yeah, you did. Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure you did.
Okay. I wasn't remembering it correctly. Awesome. Good job. All right.
Yes.
Let's move on to our... film review. This month we are reviewing the movie Stop Motion, which was released in 2024. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 91% tomato meter. That, to remind you, is the professional reviewers, and the audience gives it a 51%. That is quite the swing in the opposite direction.
And I can see that. I can see that for sure.
Yeah, this is a horror film about an hour and 33 minutes long. And let's give you some little details about this film. This film is a talented stop motion animator becomes consumed by the grotesque world of her horrifying creations with deadly results. It's directed by Robert Morgan and produced by Alan De La Meta and Christopher Gain de Ferre. Screenwriter is Robert Morgan and Robin King. It's distributed by IFC Films, produced by Blue Light. It's rated R for some language, brief material, sexual material, drug material, gore, violence, and disturbing content. The genre is horror. Original language is English. It was released to theaters February 23rd, 2024 in a very limited run, and then released to streaming March 15th, 2024. Its box office gross in the U.S. alone was $789,000.
It's not a very limited run, so it's not a movie for everybody either. I can see why the critics gave it like 90 some and regular Joes only gave it like 50 some for sure.
Yeah. I'm gonna say that to me it was very ambitious. Like the scope of this and the idea was pretty cool, very ambitious. Well, let's talk about it. Let's go ahead. We'll let Craig, since you picked it, kick it off. Tell us about the film.
So it's about a girl. It starts off, she's with her mother.
Yeah. And her mother. Her mom seems a little crazy.
Yeah, and that has a lot to do with the movie and
for sure.
You know, things that happen throughout the movie.
A lot of symbolism in this movie. A lot of symbolism.
Yeah. And it took me a little bit to wrap my head around it.
Yeah, I'd say that too, for me.
So I was thinking, after I watched it, just thinking about it. Anyway, she's a little controlling. I guess you got a little. I guess the longer your movie went, you sort of look back and said she's sort of abusive to the mother.
Yeah, emotionally abusive at the least. Yeah. It's possible there was physical abuse there too, which could explain some stuff later on in the film as well.
A lot of it made me feel like, as we mentioned before, Ari Aster. It kind of reminded me of a lot of the Ari Aster films that we've seen over the years.
That's exactly how I felt. Early on, I was like, where is this going? And then at one point, I looked at my watch. I'm like, man, this is really like dragging.
Yeah. But then at the end, it picked up. But like a half hour left.
Yeah, towards the end of the second half act and into the third act, I really started getting into it. And then I didn't know how to feel about it at the end of it. And then, like you said, I kept thinking about it and digesting and figuring. And then,
let's pause just for a moment because I want to get into some spoilery discussions. So if you're listening to the podcast and you're going, hey, I think I might want to see this film, then pause right here because we're going to spoil a bunch of shit.
Yeah, go check it out.
Go check it out. It's definitely worth watching, so go check it out.
It's different.
And then come back here and listen. If you're like, hey, I'm kind of on the fence, I don't mind being spoiled, then keep listening.
Yeah.
Yep. So anyway, So she's working on a project with her mom and
Mom has a stroke or something, right? Like a heart attack? One of the two.
Yeah. Yep. And, well, before that, her mother's like, hey, will you give me some ideas? And that sort of started, the downward spiral with her. You could tell she was describe it as a starving artist, right?
That was the writer's cramp,
whatever you want to call it. But
that
you
was
can
the
tell
whole,
she,
I think,
just
motif
wasn't,
of her was the...
she wasn't creative enough, and she put a lot of pressure on herself and stuff like that.
Yeah, like she could do the work, but the ideas behind the work didn't come easy to her.
She
like
wasn't
they did
as creative
her,
as she,
right to her mom, and I think that played big on the plot of the movie and where it went.
Yeah, and
the end,
that little girl,
sure.
I think, was totally.
Oh yeah, that was her muse or whatever. Yeah, it was whatever you want to say.
Inside of her head or whatever.
The voice inside her.
I saw it as like her younger self.
Yeah.
Speaking to her. Yeah.
But a voice inside her that was like pushing her to be more creative, to break out of her, like you said, writer's block or whatever it was preventing her from moving out from under her mom's shadow and making her own art. But she also wanted to be like real art, not like commercial art, like because she kept giving shit to those people who worked in advertising.
Right.
So it had to be good, but it had to be real, like which a lot of artists, that's how they are, right? It doesn't have to be stop motion. It could be writing, music, what have you.
Yep.
Just some of them don't want to go down that commercial.
Real.
Yeah.
So she started her own project and
with the help of this girl.
Yeah. And she went to a nightclub and, I think she was looking for some inspiration, I guess. At this nightclub,
if you want to say it that way,
with some drugs.
Yeah, but she didn't do the drugs.
I know that's what's crazy.
I thought for sure she did the drugs.
Listen,
that's trippy.
That's pretty much very cool. That was
they established by this point that she really didn't need the drugs.
Yeah,
true.
That was cool too in the very beginning of the movie when she was
with the music.
Different colors in her.
That got me started. Like I was like, man, this is gonna be a freaky movie. But then it like kind of took forever to get to the freaky stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That was the thing that bothered me about this film is that it was number one a slow start, and then they would kind of pique your interest. Like, no, not here. Yep. Nothing great happening.
So
here.
Her movie was sort of like a Red Riding Hood, Big Bad Wolf kind of story,
but also symbolic of what she was going through with her mom and
I think the Ash Man, and that's my opinion, I think it's a symbol for death, I think maybe
the or I was thinking more of like not being relevant, like like as an artist, like
it's fading away to ash, becoming nothing.
Possibly
so that's where it gets like real weird, with all the stop motion stuff.
It was pretty cool,
though.
I
guess you can sort of tell what's real and what's not real,
The freaky part to me that I was like, oh, that's kind of fucking freaky, is the little girl who somewhere along the way
became a bitch.
But they established for the Watcher that we knew she wasn't real.
Yeah, right? Early on, because she was in two places there's no way that girl would have just been there.
Or even she mentioned something about talking to herself, and she was in the woods, and they showed that the girl wasn't fucking there that she was talking to. Mm-hmm. So as the viewer, you now know that little girl's not real.
Yep.
And then there's that scene where she fucking chokes the life out of the little girl. And I'm going, does she not realize that girl is in her fucking head?
Well, that's like... I was mostly sure the girl wasn't real, but there was still part of me that's like, is she just that crazy? Or but then when she choked the shit out of that girl.
Right, when that was going on, I'm like, we know she's not real.
But
does
she sort of knew where that little girl was going to take her, though, right?
But, yeah, like, I think that was it. She was struggling.
Fighting a little bit. She was fighting and struggling a little bit.
Yeah, and then the little girl reappears behind her and goes, have you gotten that out of your system now?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think that's what it was. Like this, the choking of the little girl was her struggling with finishing this project, which she knew was making her fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But she wanted to finish it, but she knew it was messing her life up. Like, she went, like, she was doing all kinds of shit and then waking up and realizing all this shit was done. Like, she, I think she had, like, you know, like blackouts or whatever because she wasn't sleeping right. And I think her boyfriend even pointed that out to her, that she needed to get some sleep.
Right.
So I think that choking of the girl was her trying to kill that voice in her head so she could go back to being normal. But it was too late, I think, by that point.
Yeah, yeah.
She'd already got a taste of creativity.
Yeah.
Yep. The stop motion stuff was kind of cool.
I liked it. I liked it.
Tool videos, right?
The weirdness of it is what really got me. Like when the little girl said, "Use that clay to make it." To make it, and then the next time he's like, "Here's a piece of fucking meat. Use the meat to make it."
Hey, cut then it's this like fucking dead fox.
Yeah, it's like a dead fox. You're like, yeah, if you use the meat from this and the bones, you can make. And it's like, what the fuck is happening?
Ah, dude. Like, and then like at one point, there's just like maggots all over everything. I'm like, well, that fox has got to start stinking in there, right? Like,
and like, she's in an apartment building. Like somebody had to smell that shit going on. It was pretty wild.
So then, like we said, the third act then got insane. Like she finally just like
her totally unhinged. Unhinged.
I don't get disturbed much, but watching stuff.
Oh,
but the stitched part, like well, that.
Oh man,
the sound
I was like,
too.
I was like, oh yeah, I was like, I can't watch it.
She's putting her fingers into the cut, and she's pulling a piece of her own flesh
like
out.
Like I said,
of
it's hard to bother me like that. You know, but that bothered me. They
same
did a
here,
nice
man.
Job. They
did I looked away. Job.
I
looked
did
away.
One of these, like,
yeah.
Same here. I was like,
I could watch an operation or you know whatever, but that for some reason just bothered me. I was
you
like,
know, pulling the stitches out didn't bother me, but when she split the skin open and started sticking her fucking fingers in there, I'm like, what the fuck? Why would you? What the fuck?
And then her boyfriend and his sister came in on her like,
what the fuck
are you doing?
Yeah. You're like fucking losing it.
Yeah. And then she did really lose it too. Like I didn't see that coming. I wasn't expecting. Like I was expecting her to like lose her shit. I wasn't expecting like brutal murder. Like she murdered the shit out of that sister with that fucking like camera. Like
oh yeah, well yeah. She stole her idea too, right? She
well yeah, so
a,
she already
she
was
finally
angry.
Gets an idea and then
yeah.
Her so then, here's
sister stole it. Yeah.
Here's my big question. At the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When she opens the velvet box,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
what does that symbolize? Her?
Well, so do you remember when she? And I don't even know if she was really having
death or rebirth, right?
Well,
it's either or.
Yeah, but remember
well,
her mom was
age.
Saying that she's just a puppet, and when the creators are done with their puppets and they've served their purpose, they put them away.
Put it away.
So the little girl was still
she
sitting there.
She says, "I love it." The finished product. She goes, "I love it."
Yeah, and so she was done now.
And
so
she
was the puppet, even though she wasn't her mom's puppet anymore.
She
was the
puppet
of this
psyche.
Of this, of her own psyche. And she had finished her masterpiece or whatever the hell you want to call it and put herself away, which I think symbolizes her killing herself. Because if you remember during that last bit, they showed her laying on the floor.
Yes.
You know, so I think
she pretty much bled to death.
I thought it was cool, too, if you noticed that whole last scene was set up like the house in her stop motion flick. And you could hear when she was moving, you could hear the noises like the dolls that she was moving around in the thing.
Yeah.
So she was the
puppet.
Yeah. So that's how I got it.
The thing is, it was a great movie, but the problem was pacing, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I looked at my watch once because I was like, man, like because
there was a couple times where like the pace got better, like things got better, you got more interested, and then it just fucking went off the rails a little bit, and then you're like, "What the fuck?" Now we're slowing down again.
Yeah.
But the last half hour was pretty intense.
Insane. It was.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah.
But it took like an hour to get there.
Yeah. Luckily, it was only an hour and a half movie because if it would have been longer, I probably would have like I don't know if I would have tapped out, but. I would have been
just like when I finished the film, I kind of scrubbed back through it on Shudder, like looking at the different scenes. I feel like you probably could have cut 20 minutes out of that film.
Yeah.
And still had a good product.
Yeah.
Still gotten conveyed the full story. Just trim 20 minutes out of there and you would have been something better.
Maybe it would have been better like like the Cabinet of Curiosities, like, you know, like the Guillermo del Toro thing where it's like a 45
minutes. Yeah, a short story. A short story conveying the whole – they could summarize all that stuff and still be as deep as it was. Like,
yeah.
My thing is like while I'm watching this, I'm going, you know, it's pretty good. But, dude, it's expecting the watcher to tag along for a bunch of shit that doesn't make a lot of sense or that drags on too long. And it goes way too deep, like in themes.
And
like,
that's the again themes, why it got 90 some from you know
from
actual
critics
movie
and,
critics
and
like
50 from viewers because the themes were just so fucking deep, you know.
Yeah, and it was
who's gonna
specifically
get most of that?
Targeted to people who are like artists, I would think, like someone who's put themselves. Like the little girl even says, you know, a real artist put a piece of themselves in their art.
And it makes me wonder if the dude that wrote this, like, if part of that is, like, coming just from his life, from his experiences and the way he feels about himself as an artist.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, man, because, you said, the starving artist, like, is a real thing. And I think some of them just really that into completing, like, the projects they're putting in. They put off everything else and, you know,
the rest be damned and just lose your fucking mind in it.
It definitely wasn't created for large audiences. That's for sure.
And I think that's why it probably was, you know, looking at the earnings and the small release that it had, that it was probably targeted at those art house theaters where people who love cinema as an art, went to see this and were like, oh, fuck, this blows my mind.
And I think it was that, too, because I thought the lighting was really nicely done.
The cinematography
stop motion
was good.
The stop motion was great. The sounds, again, like, you know, you hear
the
like
sounds
picking
were
her
fantastic.
Skin at, and like I said, the creaking of her arms when she was, and I don't know if you remember when she was in with her mom in the hospital. And again, I can't think if this was like real, if this was her crazy brain, like thinking her mom was talking.
Her mom
to
was
her.
Already dead at that point. I thought.
She was moving her mom's arm like she was doing like her stop motion shit. And you could hear her mom's arm creaking just like the puppets in the.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, she was now treating her mom like one of her puppets, which I thought was, you know.
Yeah, she was like holding her back or something. You can tell.
Yeah,
she was like, yeah, and you heard the noise.
Yeah, so I thought the use of sound was really good in it too.
Yeah, and the way I look at it is like for most of my friends that are into horror films or my colleagues, I would not recommend this film because they're the kind of people who are like, this is fucking gay. Where's the fucking murders? Like there's nothing happening.
Yeah,
but I know that there's plenty of people like myself that I'm like, this was really a pretty decent film. I really enjoyed it.
I probably wouldn't have. I remember passing by it on Shudder and reading the thing. I'm like, I don't know. It sounds like okay. So I'm glad that you picked that one because
it
was one that I probably wouldn't have watched, and I'm glad I watched it because I
and then I was and just for yucks and grins before we came online today, I was like browsing the web. I wanted to see what other people said about it, and most of the critics, you know, agreed that it was a good film based on the story it was telling, the depth of some of the themes, and then again some of those like people just writing how what they watch and what they thought about were like, this movie was so fucking stupid, it's called stop motion but the stop motion barely did anything interesting. Like, fuckhead. it wasn't about stop motion, it was about an artist who does stop. What the fuck, watch that movie again, asshole. You're expecting something that wasn't going to be there.
Well, and that's the problem with commercial, you know, people who are just used to commercially produced like stuff, you know, like
like I said, fucking good film. I was really entertained by it. I think that actress, the main
she was great.
She did good.
She was fucking awesome.
Oh yeah, man. She really like sold that.
You believe? Yeah, you believe that she was fucking losing her mind. Even some of the facial expressions that she did, like when she was out of it and shit.
Yeah.
You were like, fuck, man. That actress is really good. And I didn't even bother to look and see what else she was in. I probably should have because I was like, man. She's pretty good. She must have been in some other shit because it's pretty good.
Yeah,
and I understand
this
was a UK film release, right? Wasn't
this
like
a
Yeah, so that's pretty great stuff there.
And the only other complaint, I like Shudder again, like the picture quality, it's not crisp and sharp enough in some of the darker scenes. It's like
I don't know if that's just the conversion or what they did, because I believe that was filmed. That was filmed digital, so there shouldn't have been any conversion. You should have been okay with it.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm trying to think if I saw anything that really like bothered me. Like that one we watched that was pretty grainy. But
like you said, it just wasn't crisp again.
No, it looked good for me, I think. I watched it in my web browser on my laptop because...
Okay. Well, small screen, yeah, you should be good.
Yeah, I didn't watch it on... I should have... Was it in 4K? It probably wasn't even 4K. Maybe that was the problem.
No. I know when I watched it on like it. I had the HDR option for HDR, so you know it. I don't know if I noticed a difference or not, but
yeah, I don't know. Where'd you watch it? I watched it on Shudder.
Yeah, I watched it at AMC Plus or no?
You have
the same Plus? Thing. It's Shudder and
it's
and
AMC. Yeah.
Is it AMC? Yeah, yep. I think it's AMC Plus.
So you have the AMC Plus app.
So no, you get a better quality on AMC, maybe.
Amazon Prime offers AMC Plus.
Oh, okay.
Which
okay.
is basically everything that's on Shudder is on AMC.
So if you, yes, oh, okay. you, that's where okay. you get your HDR option. Shudder doesn't have that HDR.
Yeah,
Shudder
doesn't have an HDR. I was on option. Amazon See. Prime app with Amazon. I mean, yeah, AMC Plus, and that's what I watched it on.
Interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if you can subscribe through.
Yeah, maybe that was the problem.
I just have I subscribe through the app on the TV.
Yeah, me too. I pay for a yearly subscription.
Well, the weird thing is that I have the Shudder app, but I can't. My TV doesn't have that app on the TV, but I get it on my Xbox. But I know that through my Prime app, I get AMC Plus movies. So I didn't really feel like turning on my Xbox when I knew that I could probably find it on AMC Plus anyway. So
do you hear this nightmare that we're talking about? Yeah. I fucking can't stand streaming services now. It's funny. Two decades ago, I was like, fucking hate cable. Why am I paying $300 for 600 channels I don't watch? And now here we are going, well, I can watch it on this, but I can't watch it on that. And it streams on this, but I can't log in on that. And the app won't run here. It's like, what the fuck?
And the app tried to hide the cheaper shit all the way at the bottom so I couldn't see it.
What fucking hellscape of capitalism are we living in? God yes. damn it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't handle it anymore.
I know. Then you want consolidation to make it easier, but then you get a monopoly, fucker. Then they jack the prices up.
Yeah.
Because it's consolidated. Yep. All right.
All right. So
I'm going to give it a 3.
Same here. 3 stars.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
Woo.
I actually really like I said, after I stopped watching it and sat around for a while and digested it and thought about it more, like the more I really appreciated what they did, even though the beginning I was kind of bored and hoping that it would pick up. Yeah. I thought that third act just, you know,
all right.
It was good for me. It was good for
We're going to go with 3.5 stars from the American Nightmare podcast. There you got it.
Yep.
Go watch it. Stop motion. 3.5 stars. If you enjoy art house films, if you enjoy films that have depth to them and some, you know, not commercially cranked out bullshit, you'll love this.
And so, to be honest, I'm typically not their target audience. You know, like I'm not typically into that kind of movie, but
you know,
towards the end, I was like, wow, this is fucking awesome. Like I liked it.
I feel like over the years, I'm more and more, I love film. I love cinema. And I think more and more, I'm getting to be more of that groggy old fucking,
where's the killing?
Give me no. I want to give me the art. Why is this fucking just people getting slaughtered?
Well, I'm
I was gonna say if I want to see that, I'd go to fucking Central LA and watch people at the park kill each other. All right.
Wow, that was a good choice, Craig. I'm glad that I watched that one.
Yeah, it was a really good pick. Really good pick. I'm excited about that. I was thinking that spreadsheet that I keep for all of our history of stuff. I was thinking about putting our star ratings in one of the columns in that spreadsheet so we could look back and remember what star rating we gave each film at a glance.
Because I think that's on the other side. It's on our American Horror Week, American Nightmare podcast website. You could find that stuff, but you got to cross-reference the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like all right.
That. All right. Yeah.
All right.
Awesome. All right. So thanks again, everyone, for listening to the American Nightmare podcast. Again, we do this as just mindless self-indulgence. We do it just to entertain ourselves. But thank you for listening. And if you want to participate, feel free to call our voice line. We have a voice line where you can leave a voicemail. I will not answer the phone. Just leave a voicemail. It's 1-562-247-5855. Leave us a voicemail telling us what you thought about our reviews, that we're idiots, that we should not have given something 3 stars or we should have given it 4 stars or whatever. Also, give us some suggestions. What would you like to hear a top 5 list of? What is a movie you'd like to see us review?
Would you like us to go to hell?
That kind of shit. You can say, you guys totally suck. You know, it is, you know, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, check us out on the-american-nightmare.com website. On our website, I spend the extra 30 minutes every time I create a podcast issue to type out information about each of the episodes. So you can look it up there, and that information shows up if you're using a good podcast player like Overcast on the iPhone. In the podcast, you can swipe to the right and see the stuff we're talking about while we're talking about it and skip the chapters. Like listening to the news and you want to skip to the top five, I got it chapterized. You can skip to the top five. If you want to skip the top five and the fucking news at the beginning and go right to the review, you can skip right to the review. Everything's chapterized. I spend that little bit of effort to try and make a better podcast. And it's like that in nearly every podcast that we do since 2019. So
nice.
Anyone that's interested in checking out those features, feel free to do so, because I spend some time doing it. All right. We will see you
in October.
We will speak to you in October.
We might be doing live, right? Or maybe not live, but we might all be together.
I don't know. We'll try and figure that out, because I don't have all the gear that I used to have to make all that happen. But we are going to be reviewing Terrifier 3. So while you guys come here, we're going to go to the theaters. We're going to go see it and then review it.
Woohoo!
So look forward to that. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
All right. Thanks.
All right. What do I want to say?
You'll see you soon.
So I was kind of.